A Kansas City, Missouri project is underway to build senior housing for assisted living, memory impaired residents, and seniors living independently. It's called the Rock Hill Greens Redevelopment Plan. And joining us now on the Bioethics Channel are two developers behind the project. The Bioethics Channel is a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center and its programs, visit practicalbioethics.org. practicalbioethics.org. Jeremy Witt and Kelly Robbie are developers associated with The Neck Giver. And Kelly, if you would please first explain what the thinking was behind, or the thinking is behind, and the goals for the Rock Hill Greens redevelopment plan.
Sure. Well, primarily the thinking behind the redevelopment of the Rock Hill Greens project came from our analysis basically of the senior housing market and needs in senior housing and healthcare and where that's headed in this country. We do a very strong analysis of projects before we get involved with them, and we were at the request of HCA Research Medical Center based here in Kansas City, one of the largest hospital organizations in the metropolitan area, asked us to come look at a former hospital campus that had been basically downsized and some buildings shut down, and was really looking for an opportunity to redevelop the campus. In our analysis in this market, it's an infill location. It's an urban location where the demographics are continuing to age in proportion to the general population. The incomes are stratified from the very rich to the very poor, with a very strong middle-income market. So we looked at the market and talked it over with HCA and Research Medical Center and determined that this would be a good opportunity to really create a continuing care retirement community based on the fundamental principles of the net giver, which is people, planet, and profit, basically the triple bottom line. what we mean by that is obviously we have to have fiscal responsibility to our investors, not only folks investing hard money in the project, but people in the community that are investing in the project, whether it's through redevelopment incentives or tax credit incentives, those types of things to help underwrite the redevelopment of a blighted site, but also have an environmental responsibility to the extent that there's a balance in the cost impact of that to the overall project. And what we mean from that is, for example, it's an infill location, so where it's adaptive reuse of an existing location. We're not really increasing the carbon footprint. In fact, we're decreasing it through some of the techniques we'll implement on the campus, transit and accessibility options, working with the Mid-America Regional Council subcommittees on transit and access here in Kansas City, really integrating universal design and transit into the project to really, again, push the envelope a little bit on accessibility and transit options that not only people living here will have, but also people working here. And then finally, the community aspect, which is very important to us through our nonprofit foundation. One of our goals is to give 10% of our profits back to the communities we developed, and we've identified a few recipients in this location. One primarily Kansas City, the Kansas City Habitat for Humanity, who's redeveloping houses in the neighborhood directly east of our project, will be a recipient of some of that funding to help with the redevelopment of some of the homes in that neighborhood. The partnership with HCA is very important. Obviously, being next to a major healthcare provider in the area is a significant amenity to our project. Also, as a redevelopment project or removal of blight, the remediation of environmental issues, those types of things dictate the possibility of development incentives, where in our opinion, this is what development incentives were created for, to remove blight, to improve conditions in neighborhoods, to stabilize conditions, and act as a catalyst for future development and job creation, which this does. So with that, that's really kind of an overview of the project. Right now, specifically, we have a contract to purchase and redevelop 14 acres on the campus, and it'll be a mixed-income community. We'll have some affordable housing for seniors on the campus, primarily marketed towards the middle-income market, skilled nursing facility, assisted living, and then beyond that, we'll let the market kind of dictate what the future development would be. But we really want to create a hub for the senior housing, health and wellness, healthcare concept in Kansas City here, and we feel that we have a great opportunity to do that.
Jeremy, it sounds like you're bringing together a lot of different kinds of trends here around demographics with baby boomers mm-hmm. coming in and needing that, cultural income, housing, and getting more into kind of construction trends, things like that. Would mm-hmm. it be fair to say that you're trying to bring together a lot of these different trends nationally and internationally into this one spot?
That's absolutely right. One of the things that we think is really key to our approach versus, say, other developers and previous market trends is, if I could give a little analogy, it's like this. A lot of developers come in with a great idea and potentially a good market study. And then they essentially do a lot of work and put in a lot of effort to put somewhat of a square peg into a round hole. The difference with the net giver concept is that instead of putting a square peg in a round hole or a round peg in a round hole and trying to jam it in, is we try to take those holes and just fill them up. And that's and so what are all of those holes? Well, those holes include things like opportunities, for example, development incentives. They include things like market demand, such as senior housing needs, healthcare needs. Those holes include opportunities where a healthcare facility has a blighted campus or an underutilized property right next door or adjacent. Not a situation where we're displacing households, not a situation where we're causing any type of upheaval in a community. That would be more along the lines of trying to jam a square peg into a round hole. Instead, these are voids. These are open holes, and the net giver simply fills them up. And when you do that, you see the huge difference in the community meetings and the town hall meetings that we have. Literally to this date, every organization and individual that we have talked to that at least in some form or fashion understands what the net giver is trying to do here at the Rock Hill Greens and across the country, we've had zero opposition. It just makes so much sense. Again, we're finding these voids, these holes in the market, healthcare needs, social responsibility, with speaking very specifically towards some of the mission and objectives of the Center for Practical Bioethics, as well as market demand for senior housing, whether it be more economically affordable senior housing or whether it be market rate. And then also talking about removal of blight that Kelly referred to. All of these things are positives, net positives to the community, to the major metropolitan area. And we feel, certainly from our preliminary research across the country, that there are a large number of these types of situations. These situations where there are a lot of holes and a lot of voids and very little resistance, very few situations where you're pushing a square peg into a round hole across the country. And so hopefully the first in a line of many that follow this same paradigm.
Well, it sounds like you have to put together a lot of pieces on
yep.
this. And then having a health system like HCA is a big part of this. And then, Kelly, you've been working on the community aspects of this. How have the pieces been coming together?
You know, it's I think the project is so I'll put it in these terms. It's really become an organic project on its own. It's such a strong project and a strong market. We are actually just kind of quarterbacking the project, moving it forward. When we meet with organizations, neighborhood groups, certainly your organization – Mid-America Regional Council, elected officials, folks involved in everything from transit to accessibility to foundations, they all see this as a trend that's bearing down on us on the next 20 years in this country. And they know that the old way of addressing these issues in healthcare, senior housing, those types of things are changing. I mean, they're changing not only from a financial aspect, but they're changing demographically. They're changing in the demand side of the equation, what these folks are going to want in their communities, whether it be, you know, more sustainable items integrated into the design to intergenerational activities with local schools, organic gardening, things, technology, things like that. It's really creating it's become an organic project on its own, and we're just helping guide it down the road. But certainly, as Jeremy said, we haven't faced any opposition. The demand is there. We're using this opportunity from a community perspective, as I have talked to other organizations, as a blank slate. This is a blank slate. We know what we want to do. We want to do a project here that focuses on senior housing and health care, but we have 37 acres to work with. How can we reach out to the community, other organizations that are have initiatives, and integrate them into this palette and this canvas that we're drawing here? And whether it's Mid-America Regional Council again, or the Kansas City Area Transit Authority, Habitat for Humanity, Kansas City Urban Garden Association, Kansas City Healthy Kids, numerous schools in the area, how can we use this as a canvas to really integrate this project in the community and bring those other efforts to our project?
And Jeremy, this blank canvas, it would be different in every community, but you would see this, I would imagine, as a model for other communities across the country.
Absolutely. And that's a great point that we really want to stress, is that we are not, for example, a big box retailer developer where we take exactly the same plan, the same marketing strategy, the same architecture designs and things of that nature. Instead, we're bringing the exact same concept. Every single project that we look at, whether it's throughout Kansas City or in the future throughout the country, is absolutely going to tap into the local economics, the local trends, the local needs, and the local priorities. The consistent concept that we're taking is finding all of these needs and finding all of these demand gaps, whether they be senior housing demand, whether they be blighted areas. And then another consistent part of that is this concept of healthcare campuses that have either downsized or relocated to the suburbs and things of that nature, and created this vacuum in cities across the country. You've seen this trend of medical campuses either divesting into suburbs or consolidating, things of that nature, and it creates this hole where the former campus was. A lot of times there'll still be a presence there, but there'll be an underutilized component of that. Coming into those different types of situations is really what we're looking for, those types of opportunities.
So, Kelly, let's assume this is all done in about 3 years, 5 years, however long it takes. I know, a lot of moving parts, and you're dealing with public entities that can sometimes change priorities. What will the final product look like? What will it feel like?
I think, at least on this campus, the final product will feel like certainly it will be integrated into the community. It's not going to feel like a project that's been developed in isolation without community input and fence put up around it and those types of things. It's certainly going to be integrated in the community. There's going to be a very strong green element to it, whether we're looking at renewable energy or just the fact of putting grass on the side or walking trails. Those types of things. I think you're going to see organic gardens where you're going to see the elderly working with school children. I think you're going to see an amphitheater and in partnership with the UMKC rep and the Shakespeare in the Park, doing plays on the weekends or concerts for people in the neighborhood and residents living here. And I think you're just going to see a lot of smiling faces, elderly, young people, people working here, and people coming to use healthcare services on the campus, visiting their loved ones, or actually just enjoying the neighborhood and the community.
So, Jeremy, how does this fit in with the KC4 Aging in Community Initiative here at the Center for Practical Bioethics?
There's a large number of ethical issues with aging that certainly from a healthcare ethics perspective, there are all kinds of trends, whether it be the finance, the financial structure of healthcare, legislation with respect to healthcare, and a big part of the healthcare ethics, especially with aging, is that most of your legislature lobbyists and advocates and things of that nature are not in the senior citizen age category, and so part of it is simply giving them a voice, providing that advocacy that KC4 does, I think, is absolutely critical. Raising that awareness, providing podcasts like this are crucial aspects, because there are certainly very critical issues, whether they be the financial crisis or job creation and things of that nature. However, that doesn't make it any less important for the healthcare ethics issues, that absolutely face this country. If you think that aging issues in America are any less important than the financial crisis, one merely needs to look at the projected healthcare costs for seniors in the next 10 years and certainly in the next 20 years. It is a crisis. But the reason that you don't see it on the nightly news is because it's a crisis that will happen in maybe 10, 20 years or something like that. The reason that it is important to address it now with some of the initiatives that the NetGiver does and certainly some of the great work that KC4 does is that in order to address the size and the magnitude of those crises, you have to do things now. You have to start now. And it's like whenever you're in the river and you're paddling and you're having a good time with your friends, and if there's a waterfall in that river a mile ahead, you can't start paddling for the shore when you see it. You have to start paddling for the shore far earlier so that you can actually make it to the shore before you go off the edge of that waterfall.
Jeremy Witt and Kelly Robbie are developers associated with The NetGiver, working on the Rock Hill Greens redevelopment plan. For more information on this project and the KC4 Aging and Community Initiative at the Center for Practical Bioethics, visit kc4aic.org. That's kc4aic.org. I'm Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.